Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
Look, I am for marriage between a man and a woman. I am for life from conception. I am for following the Bible, and I believe that our founders started this nation on biblical principles. I am in support of our military and believe that America should play a role in world security. I believe our Constitution was intended for a moral people and that the Bible contains the only true moral code. I believe we are all born sinners and that God in His grace and mercy sent His Son Jesus Christ to die for our sins, and that if we will confess our sins, He is just and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I believe salvation is not just accomplished in a little prayer, but that it is found in how that transformation is lived out. Jesus is to be the Lord of our lives, and we should follow biblical precepts. This is not legalism or works, but a life lived out in love and honor towards the one who died for my sins. Faith without works is dead and is no faith at all. I believe that we will fall and that we need to have a repentant heart, and that God will ultimately bring us into perfect action through Jesus Christ. Spirit man perfected and soulish man in progress. I believe that we are not to live in guilt and shame when we fall, but we repent and get up and move closer to Jesus. I believe that if our nation will repent and turn from wickedness, that God will heal our land. I believe that as a Christian, I must occupy till He comes, and that to call evil wicked and to warn about those evil acts is a part of the mandate of Christianity. That to love also means to be willing to take the risk necessary to confront a friend with the truth in hopes that their heart will be turned because their life matters, even if it means, in that moment, they will possibly hate me. It means that I must risk scorn to stand for truth, and that I can never sit silently by while evil attempts to conquer the world. God is my everything, and Jesus is the love of my life. That does not make me weak, but strong, not silent, but bold, and not fearful, but courageous. Therefore, if you are my friend, while we may not fully agree, know that I share what I share because I care. If you strongly disagree with these beliefs, they are not debatable for me, and you can, if you choose, unfriend me. I do not say this in anger, but in love. I wish for you eyes to see and ears to hear that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation, and that God, not man, gets to decide what is truth, life, and the way. God bless you. And welcome back to Children Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Hour number three. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice of where you can listen each and every day, and I do hope that you'll share with your friends. Share this with your friends, and if you would consider, I used to talk about this. I haven't done it in a while, but buy Pastor a cup of coffee, $5. Will make a huge difference. You can go to Cash App, $ Pastor Greg CGR. Go to Venmo at Pastor Greg CGR. You can also go to the link that is at chosengenerationradio.com. Go to the donate link. You can do a one-time donation. You don't have to give all your permanent information. You can just do a one-time donation if you'd like. And you'll be supporting what we do. In fact, not just with the program here, but also the dramatic impact that we're having in India and Punjab. And we'll be going live to Punjab here in about 20 minutes. We'll be doing another one of our live outreach gospel presentations in Punjab, India via Skype. I'll be sharing my testimony, the accident testimony, and then praying for people. And we've been seeing massive salvations, and also the Lord has been doing healings as well during the meetings, which has been just incredible. We've now planted almost 800 churches in the last 4 years. We put in our 42nd freshwater bore well. We've now established 4 sewing schools for widows. We have our sewing school and our Bible school, and we would, again, just if you buy me a $5 cup of coffee, and we'll put that $5 to work, that'll make a huge difference. We can literally feed a family over there for $15, $15. We could put a freshwater bore well in for $400. So if you're interested in helping us with those pursuits, we'll appreciate it. All right. Very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. He's the founder, president, and national spokesman at the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. It's a network of Christian theologians, natural scientists, economists, and other scholars educating for biblical earth stewardship, economic development for the poor, and the proclamation and defense of the good news of salvation by God's grace received through faith in Jesus Christ's death and resurrection. And it is my sincere pleasure to welcome to the program the founder of that fine institution, E. Calvin Beisner. Dr. Beisner, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much, Craig.
So our topic for today is this continued climate change push of the radical left that I think perverts the gospel message. It tends in my estimation, love to hear your thoughts, but my estimation is that it elevates the creation above the creator.
Yes, it certainly does. What we've seen in almost all of the environmental movement is that people have denied the creator-creature distinction. Almost all of the environmental movement is based in one of two different worldviews, and they are both monistic. That is, they both think that all reality is just one sort of thing. The first is the secular humanist atheist worldview, naturalism, or what we call metaphysical naturalism. Matter and energy is the only thing that exists. And there, of course, you have no creator. You have only you can't call it the creation. You have only the universe, matter and energy. The other way of approaching this is an Eastern way of thinking, pantheism, where God is the universe. A variety of that, a variant of that, is panentheism. And that's the notion that God is to the universe as we think of the human soul is to the body. God is what enlivens the universe. But still, there's no real big difference between God and the universe. And a third variant of that is called animism or spiritism. Lots of little gods or spirits inhabit rocks and trees and streams and mountains and oceans and so on. All of these involve a denial of the distinction between God as the creator, the infinite, eternal, unchangeable God, a spirit, not a material thing, who is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his wisdom, his power, his justice, his holiness, his goodness, and his truth, to quote from the Westminster Shorter Catechism. And the universe, this creation that began to be at a particular time, that he made out of nothing. And then most of the environmental movement also denigrates the proper understanding of humanity as contrasted with the rest of creation. In the Bible, we read that when God made man, he made us in his own image and after his likeness. And then he blessed Adam and Eve, male and female, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and everything that creeps on the face of the earth. And what this means is that man, as God's image, is to be his representative, his vice regent, is one way of putting it, to subdue and to cultivate the rest of this earthly creation. Here at the Cornwall Alliance, we say what that means is that men and women are supposed to multiply, to have children, to raise those children, to raise them to love and to fear God, to trust in Christ alone for their salvation, and then to live in obedience to him because they recognize that he is truly their authority, their Lord. And we are supposed to work together to enhance the fruitfulness and the beauty and the safety of the earth to the glory of God and to the benefit of our neighbors, so that we're fulfilling the two great commandments, to love God and to love neighbor.
Well, doesn't that also follow too? I mean, when you talk about it, you know, that we talk about the fall of man, but it wasn't just the fall of man. It was the fall of man and all of creation. Sin has impacted everything. Sin has impacted plant life. Sin has impacted the fish of the sea and the mammals that walk upon the earth and everything in between. The word of God in Romans 8:19 says, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God."
Right.
Our transformation upon receipt of Christ is also a mandate then to take back the position that Adam was given accountability for, not exactly. only in how we individually walk and act and relate with the Creator, but how we relate with his creation as well.
Exactly. And, you know, there's a really sad thing, Pastor Greg, that many evangelicals have, I think with very good motives, they've said, yes, we love nature, we love God's creation. After all, you know, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the sea and everything that dwells in it, to quote Psalm 24.
Amen.
You know, it's a beautiful place. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day to day utters speech. Night to night shows forth knowledge. There's no language in which they're not heard. This is Psalm 19. And so we love nature, we love the beauty of it, and we don't want it to be despoiled, we don't want it to be abused. And so out of that good motivation, some of them have begun to think, and this has been written in a number of different books by evangelicals writing on environment, that the call for man to exercise dominion over the world really ended with the fall of man into sin. We only deserved, the argument goes, to have that role of dominion before the fall. Once we fell into sin, we lost the right to control the rest of creation. Now, that's wow. completely wrong, because in fact, the command to use dominion, have dominion over the world, is repeated in Genesis 9 after the flood. So obviously the fall hadn't ceased to affect mankind.
Right.
And it's repeated in Psalm 8 as well. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you regard him? You've given him dominion. So this is not something where we've lost this.
Well,
the argument
is
like a parent yeah. who says, or a child who says, "Well, yeah, Dad, I know you told me to mow the lawn, but I disobeyed you. And because I disobeyed you, I'm no longer responsible to mow the lawn." No, Dad says,
And Dr. Meisner, let me add this thought in too. You know, when Paul talks about the idea of sin and the redemptive power of the cross and the restoration, again, even going back to what I just read in Romans chapter 8, there is a reestablishing. That is what Christ did, right? He through one man, sin enters the world, that man being Adam. Through another man, now restoration has taken place.
That's right.
We are restored back to the place where we were prior to Adam's sin. And everything that goes with that.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, you are singing Cornwall Alliance's tune.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know how you, but see, this is why I'll tell you something. What the Holy Spirit has spoken to me about is that one of the greatest lies of the church is you're a sinner saved by grace. Now, here's why I say that. Let me reference, because what that does then is it becomes the license to sin. Churches
That's right.
tend to pack together and become cliques where certain sins, certain little, you know, issues are kind of sort of okay. Other ones aren't, but certain ones are. And so you find the church where your flavor is accepted. Yeah. Instead of the full, and this is why we have these churches that are embracing, for example, homosexuality. Why? Mm-hmm. Because they don't believe the cross was enough. Jesus is going to have to come back and he's going to have to do a do-over, apparently, according to some of their theology, in order to fix certain sins.
Yeah. I think what you're really pointing to, and this is dear to me, I'm going to actually turn to it so that I've got the wording right, from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Now, so many Christians stop there, and they don't find out what it is that makes us salt, that's flavorful salt, that makes us light that truly shines. Well, what tells us that is we move on from there where Jesus says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works." Then he says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets."
Woo!
"I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." And then he goes on
right.
to say things like, you know, "You've heard it said, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you're even angry at your brother without cause, you've already committed murder against him. Don't commit adultery. But if you even look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery in your heart." Far from repealing the Ten Commandments, Jesus points to the fact that they apply not only to our outward conduct, not only to our outward conduct, which means they do apply there, but also to our inward heart attitudes. And that means that we need to learn these commandments. I used to teach ethics in seminary. On the first day of my ethics course, which was a second year course in seminary, I would hand out blank sheets to all the students, and I'd say, "Just list the Ten Commandments. You don't have to write them out in full. Just list them in order with a brief summary of each one." In 7 years of doing that, I found only a handful of students who could list all Ten Commandments. Most of them couldn't list more than four or five. And that's in seminary, men who are preparing to be pastors. We as the church will never be salt of the earth and light of the world until we repent of our sin of neglecting and even rebelling against the Ten Commandments of God, which is why, by the way, I prepared a series of 22 lectures on the Ten Commandments that is available, a video series available through the Cornwall Alliance bookstore, cornwallalliance.org/shop. These are on DVDs, and we have a study guide that goes with them. If you go all the way through the study guide, you've got a seminary-level course in biblical ethics.
Well, and a real seminary, not a cemetery. here's the thing, Dr. Bunch. Well, one of the things, this is Hebrews 10:16, and this is what's cool about what happens, what really happens, that the enemy wants to blind us from. It says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them." That transformation, that's why the crucifixion is so critical. When I lead people in the prayer in India, one of the things that I instruct them about is you are crucified with Christ. You're done. Your old nature ends today. You now receive a new nature. It's not we're going to try to clean the dead thing up. No, we're killing it. We're ending
it. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation.
New creation.
All things are passed away. All things are become new.
And then here's the other part, and this is out of 1 John 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments.
Exactly.
And then he says, and his commandments are not grievous, because the argument is, oh, this is going to be so hard. But it's not. You don't understand. You have to understand the history of why God gave those commandments, the pagan life that they were involved in, all the death, what sin had brought, how they were living out the actions of sin. And God said, no, if you'll do these things, you'll have life in the physical and you'll have life in the spirit. Oh, my gosh. How beautiful.
Yeah. You know, Greg, you've mentioned India a couple of times here.
Yes.
What time are we supposed to go to? I've forgotten how long.
We're going to go for about another 3 minutes, and then I go live in India.
All right. Well, so I just want to remark to you that my own work in bringing together biblical earth stewardship, proper creation stewardship, right, and economic development for the poor was spurred by my early experiences as a little child in India. My father was with the State Department, and there in Calcutta, India, I witnessed two things, pictures that have stayed with me ever since: the beauty of God's natural creation and the horrors of sin. For a time, my mother was very ill, and I was walked by the hand by a nurse to the home of an Indian family every morning. And all along the way, I was stepping over the bodies of people who died overnight of starvation and disease. When I later became a Christian and then began to really study what the Bible had to say about the responsibility of the church for the poor and for God's creation, I became devoted to the notion that we need to pursue both of those at once. We need to simultaneously pursue the conquest of poverty and the proper stewardship of creation, not put the two opposite each other. And we pursue the conquest of poverty through private property rights, entrepreneurship, free trade, limited government, the rule of law, and very importantly, access to abundant, affordable, reliable energy, because no work gets done without it, and no wealth comes without work. So this is what the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation is all about. I hope that your listeners will come to us at cornwallalliance.org. That's cornwallalliance.org. And hear our podcast called Created to Reign on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, other platforms.
Love it. I love it. And folks, for those of you that are watching, you can see Dr. E. Calvin Beisner, founder, and cornwallalliance.org right there underneath his picture on the screen. cornwallalliance.org, and encourage you to go and learn. And you know, these are resources that are available to you to get that firm foundation. You know, my people perish for a lack of knowledge, Hosea says.
Amen.
Thank
Pastor
you,
Pastor Greg. Thanks so much. God bless you.
Oh, God bless you. I greatly appreciate being with me. We're going to take our break, folks. When we come back, we'll be popping into India. I'll be sharing my testimony, as you know, about the catastrophic accident I was in 6 years ago, where I broke 34 bones and died 4 times, saving my daughter's life in a catastrophic car accident. And we share that along with the videos for those in India, and it has had a profound effect on them and led to many salvations, and we're so grateful for that. We'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.